Okay, let's pray. Father, now we ask in Jesus' name that you would bless the teaching of your word. And Lord, give us vision this morning as we seek you. Help us to know you better and to run a good race and to fight a good fight, the fight of faith, Lord God. Lord, we ask for your presence to touch our hearts. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. So we lift our eyes to you. You are the Lord of the harvest. And we pray that you would send out more workers into the harvest field. Lord, we pray for our president. We pray for those in authority that you would give wisdom to our leaders. And Father, I pray that you would open new missionary doors for all of us to share our faith here in Chico and around the world. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read Acts chapter 1, the first 11 verses. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And so when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven." He went up in the clouds. He's coming back in the clouds. Jesus is coming again. So the author of this book, Luke is the one who wrote this historical book, is writing to a man named Theophilus. He says, in my former book — remember, that former book is the book of Luke. We just finished the book of Luke. And he says, Theophilus means lover of God. So this could have been some important Roman figure that he knew or something. And he was writing to him. In my former book, Theophilus, I told you what Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up. Now notice that Jesus continues to work today. He began it. He died on the cross. The work of paying for our sin is finished. But the work of the gospel is not finished. We still have the work of God to do. In the book of Acts, there are how many chapters? Anybody know? I'm going to count them right now. Okay. There are 28. So in the southern Philippines, there's a group, a youth group that they named Acts 29. The things that we keep doing right now, the things that are still going on. So what Jesus began to do and to teach. And he gave instructions through the Holy Spirit. And notice, after suffering, he rose from the dead, and there were many convincing proofs that he is alive. He ate food. He was alive. He showed himself alive again and again. So they knew he was alive. He has risen from the dead. Christ is alive. He died for our sins, but he rose from the dead. And in his name, there is forgiveness of sin. There is eternal life. And we accept that gift by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And those who come to him must first of all believe he exists, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he said to us, they came to Jesus, they said, Lord, increase our faith. I need more faith. Don't you feel like that sometimes? And he said, if you have a mustard seed of faith, that's a very small seed. I've seen a mustard seed before. It's really small. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thrown into the sea, and it will be done for you. Whatever you ask, believe. This morning, as we come to church, do we come with faith? You know, without eyes of faith, we might as well, you know, we're sad. Well, yeah, I'm at church today, but I don't know about this Christian stuff. No, Christ is risen. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Jesus is risen from the dead. He is the Son of God. I know that my Redeemer lives. And I don't know it on the basis of my feelings. I know it because the Word of God declares it to be so. And so Jesus Christ, many convincing proofs, he's alive. Jesus is alive. You're not just practicing a religion. You are serving the true, one and only living God, Jesus. You see, the Bible declares, broad is the road to destruction, and many there be going to hell. It's infierno. They're going to hell. But the way to heaven is narrow. Okay, the way to heaven is narrow. And it's the path of faith in Jesus Christ. Paul, when he came to the end of his life, said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Your faith is precious. Your faith in Jesus is precious. And the Bible says in Jude, build yourself up in the most holy faith. God, how do I do that? I get into the Word. I read the Word. I love the Word. When I was at this conference, which I'm going to tell you about, I was given the men's group. I got to lead the men's group of these pastors in Asia. I was really given quite a privilege because they got to do, we did the book of Ephesians. We did Ephesians chapter 1, and I got to do Ephesians chapter 5. I had two assignments. But then they needed someone to cover the men's group, so I got to lead the men's group. And then, blessing of blessings, I got to close with communion and lead communion at the very end. And when I had the men's group, I was talking about reading the Word in the morning. I just, you know, how are we doing on morning devotions? Or as we say in American slang, devos. Devos, waking up in the morning and habitually reading the Word of God. You guys know by now that I have a sign at my house, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus and coffee, okay? And so I go to the coffee pot, I have that, I got my Bible, I got my blank notebook. You've heard this from me, your pastor, 100 times. You get tired of it, I'm sorry. But I got my blank Bible, I got my pen, I got my good morning, Lord. Where's that bookmark? Okay, here it is. And I may be sleepy, but I read, and I start to copy. And you know what? An interaction takes place between me and the living God. I am hearing from him in Scripture, and he is hearing from me as I pray, oh God, I pray for my marriage, my children. I pray for CIF, Father. Oh, Father, I pray for those who have been out of fellowship. I pray for the city of Chico. Oh, God, help President Trump today. Lord, I pray for these missionaries that I met in Asia, and I just talk to my God. That's what a relationship is. God wants to talk to you. God wants you to pour out your heart to him. Pour out your heart to him at all times, the Bible says. You know, that old song, you know, if you need salvation, Jesus on the main line now. If you need forgiveness, Jesus, that's an old song. They used to use telephones back then. And he's on the main line. And you can, oh, Lord, I need help right now. Okay, I'm here. I'm on the phone. So God wants you to be, the Bible says, be anxious about nothing, but pray about everything. And you, the way you build yourself up in the faith, folks, is to continue in the Word of God. Don't neglect your Bible. And don't neglect gathering together. Do not forsake Hebrews 10:25. I'm preaching to the choir because you all came to church today. But Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembling together of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. Bad habit. But get together all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of Jesus coming. So you see, Jesus is coming soon, but I'm kind of busy for fellowship. No, get together more. Stay in fellowship. Stay in the Word. Stay in fellowship. Build yourself up. It's really not complicated, is it? It's what we teach new believers in a new believer class. Are you a believer in Jesus? You should do three things. You should read the Bible. You should stay in church, and you should pray. Read the Bible, stay in fellowship, and pray. And you will grow. That old song, read your Bible, pray every day, and grow, grow, grow. You know that song? Grow, grow, grow. Okay, that's how it goes. So just staying close to Jesus in your faith. And after many convincing proofs he gave that he was alive. And then notice in verse 4, he said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. They had already seen him risen from the dead. But he said, stay here until I give you, the Father sends you the gift of the Holy Spirit. John baptized you with water. Okay, we've had water baptisms. I saw you there. But Jesus is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word baptize, bautismo, means to immerse. I've told you this. This is real basic today. If you would take a cloth in that day and you wanted to dye it into a piece of rag here, but I want to make it blue, I would dip it into the blue paint and leave it there for a while, and then I would take it out and I would have a blue rag. So to be baptized is to be immersed. And so to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, wow, that means to take yourself, you're going into the Holy Spirit tank and you're dunking and you're coming up again and you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, around you, upon you, you're covered, you're full of God. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, skipping down to that, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I want you to think about this verse with me. Let's now come right in on verse 8 with me. Acts 1:8. You will receive power. The word for power is the Greek word dunamis. It means supernatural power, ability, and might that is beyond yourself. It means you will have the capacity to operate well beyond your natural self. It doesn't mean you'll be weird. It doesn't mean you'll be Superman and start going around like this, or Batman, or whatever you want to pick. I don't even know about Batman. I don't follow these things. But it does mean you'll have power. You will receive power. I mean, very important word, dunamis. We get the English word dynamite, or dynamic is a better word, the ability to change. You say, oh, he's a dynamic person. Well, the dynamism in your life is Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, you ever meet someone and say, man, that's a Spirit-filled brother. That's a Spirit-filled sister. And again, it's not weird. God's Spirit is always, you know, as we know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. Galatians 5:22, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, not proud, and self-control. And what does it say in 1 Corinthians 13? Love is not rude. Love seeks not its own. You know, I'm doing my own version of it. Love isn't rude. It doesn't seek itself. It doesn't boast. So if a person is full of the Spirit, they're not going to go, yeah, hi, I'm full of the Spirit, you know. No, that's not like that. But to be full of the Spirit, yes, there's going to be that quality of gentleness, but there's also going to be boldness. There's also boldness. And so not only do we experience the fruit of the Spirit, we experience the gifts of the Spirit. And we know that like in 1 Corinthians 12, there's a lot of gifts, right? The gift of knowledge and wisdom and the gift of prophecy and the gift of, and all these gifts that are mentioned. Administration. Romans 12 also, the gift of encouragement. The gift of giving. There's lots of gifts of the Spirit. And some of the things that are not even listed in those two chapters, I think you could say a person, oh, he has a gift of hospitality. They, you know, Priscilla and Aquila, they used to open their home up and invite people in. The gift of hospitality. Janet and I love to have people in our home. Or the gift of worship. If Guy ever quits having so many projects, he'll be here. Guy, where are you? We need you. So the various gifts of the Spirit. None of God's children lack gifts. The Greek word for grace is charis, charis. It means unmerited favor. It means God beautifies your life. It says the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Charis, C-H-A-R. So grace, beauty. And then the gifts of the Spirit, the Greek word for gifts is charismata. The gifts are the manifestation of that grace. Get it? The charis, grace, the charismata. Or we might say, oh, he's got a lot of charisma. That's where that English word comes from, charisma. It really means he's full of grace. He's full of God's dunamis power. He's dynamic, and he's got charisma. Dunamis and charis. Those are the origins. So we need to be, brothers and sisters, Spirit-filled Christians. And we're all different. We need to love each other. God made me a pastor. I get to stand up here and move my hands around and all that. I'm supposed to do that. That's what he made you different, and we're all different. But each of us should use our gift. Maybe you have the gift of helps. You know how valuable it is when somebody mops the floor or sets up the chairs? Wow. Thank you, Lord. Every gift is valuable. Maybe you have the gift of encouragement. You smile a lot. You encourage people. Some people have that gift. They see, oh, that's good. Lord, Luis's wife, Carmen, you know her? Carmen, she just meets you. Oh, that's so good. No, that's good. You did good. You did good. And you go, oh, I did good? Oh, good. I need someone to tell me I did good. Thank you. That's encouragement. We need that gift. And by the way, it's okay to tell the pastor I like the sermon. It's okay. Feedback. We need to encourage each other. We need to encourage each other. We need all of the gifts. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem. Now, here's something you should understand. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I've taught this before. Keep one hand here, and please turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Okay, let's see if I can find where I want to read. I will find it. Okay, verse 15, John 14, 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He lives with you. Notice that verse. He lives with you. Do you see that? And will be in you. Two words I want you to circle. If you're one who likes to mark your Bible, he, the Holy Spirit, lives with you and will be in you. There are three Greek words, with, in, and in Acts chapter 1, upon. He's with you, he will be in you. Now turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And Jesus, in verse 19, it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus could walk right through a locked door, by the way, in the risen body. And he said, peace be with you. And he said, after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. If you don't forgive, they're not forgiven. Here it is. John 14, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is with you. Now, with you means he's coming alongside. Before we were saved, the Holy Spirit is in the world, convicting the world, John 16, about sin and righteousness and judgment. So the Holy Spirit is constantly tapping on the shoulder of unbelievers. Did you know that? I don't care where they are. You know an unbeliever? You know somebody who's not saved? Think of them right now. The Holy Spirit's going like this. You need me? Now, Satan is blinding them like this, but the Holy Spirit is convicting them. You know, you've got a problem, sin, and righteousness. You need to be as righteous. So the Holy Spirit is with the world. He's with you. But he will be in you. When you become a Christian, he comes in you. And this is what happened in John chapter 20. He breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, why, if they had received the Holy Spirit already, why in chapter 1, go back to Acts now, go back to Acts. Why does he say you have to wait in Jerusalem? Because the Spirit will come upon you. It's a different Greek word, hepi in the Greek. He is with you, para, para, he's with you, that's a Greek word. He will be in you, in, but he will then come upon you. So Jesus is teaching us, you can be a Christian. The moment you receive the risen Christ, he breathes on you and he gives you the Holy Spirit. I believe, Jesus, you are the Savior. Come into my heart. Every one of us has the Holy Spirit, okay? But there is also the experience of saying, Lord, I want more of you. Would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit? We call that, some people call that a second experience. Now, not everybody agrees on this. And you don't have to agree. But it's clear to me that Jesus said, wait until you receive power. Because you can't do what I'm going to ask you to do if you don't have that power. I'm asking you to go change the world. I'm asking you to go and win, change the world. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You will be witnesses. You will receive power, dunamis, when the Spirit comes upon you. Remember the rag dipping? And you will be my witnesses. I'm not trying to act like a Greek scholar because I'm not. But the word for witness is the word martus. And it can mean to be a martyr. To be a witness is one who denies himself. Anyway, it's interesting, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the word for sin in the Greek, you ready? Anybody know it? It's you aim an arrow, and I'm at the target. I'm aiming an arrow at the target, but I miss. And the Greek word is hamartha, not in the center. But the Greek word for witness is marta. So to sin is to not represent Christ well. But to be his witness is to, as much as possible, represent him. You will receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be a witness of me. You'll represent me. You will look like me. You will act like me. You will represent me. You'll tell people about me. You will be my witnesses, and you'll do it in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, which means you'll do it in Chico, Butte County, New York City, and Thailand or whatever. You'll do it. You'll do it. You'll spread the gospel. So Jesus wanted us to receive the power of the Spirit. In church this morning, I want to tell you about my trip to Asia. By the way, it's a little warm in here because we chose not to run the air. If I run the air, everybody tells me it's too cold, right? It's too cold, and it is. So then Steve, my best advisor, Steve, said, you either have the fans or you have the swamp cooler. Today we're turned off the swamp cooler, but only the fans. So Now, if any of you start getting real sleepy, like it's too warm, I mean, we're going to go flip it back on. It's a warning. No, so stay with me, you know. Today we wanted to keep it, try and make it just right. And if you are warm, just imagine you're in a tropical country being a missionary, okay? We have been given the Holy Spirit. We have been given the Holy Spirit, and we have a journey. Did you know in the Old Testament, the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? You know that story? Abraham was old, and Isaac, his son, didn't have a bride. And so he took his servant, and he had his servant put his hand under his thigh and say, "Promise me you'll go get a wife for my son, Isaac. I want a godly woman for my son." So the servant goes off, and he comes, and there in the land of Padam Aram, this beautiful young woman comes down. And he goes, "Oh, Lord, if she's the right one, let it be that she won't only offer me a drink of water, she'll offer take care of my camels too." And this beautiful young woman, Rebecca, goes, "I will water you, and let me water your camels too." Jackpot, that's the one that's going to be the bride. So he immediately reaches in and he gets some gold and things, little nose rings or whatever they would wear, and he gives her this jewelry. And he takes her, he goes home and he stays and he meets her brother Laban, and they send Rebecca on her way. They don't want to let her go, but they let her go. And Rebecca goes off riding a camel for a long journey to see Isaac. But you see, the gold ring is a deposit. It's a story. God the Father is looking for a bride for his son, Jesus Christ. And so he sends the servant, the Holy Spirit, into the world. And so God the Father sends the Holy Spirit to find a bride for his son, Jesus Christ. And when he finds that bride, you're the bride, he gives the bride gifts, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing the good things to come. The Holy Spirit is inside of us, and it's a guarantee that God means business. And now we're on that long camel ride. And it's not always easy, but we're going to see the sun. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Right now, you've been given the deposit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts. We are to use those gifts as we run this race. When I went to Thailand, it was good. It was good. It got my eyes where I wanted my eyes to be. I kind of dreaded sitting on the plane all that time, but I survived. And so I shouldn't tell you about how hard it was. It was okay. It was fine. We went down to, you know, Sacramento Airport and then down to L.A. And then from L.A. over to Taipei. And Taipei, get on the plane and go to Chiang Mai in Thailand. Chiang Mai is the third largest city in Thailand. Beautiful place, by the way. Very, very beautiful. And this was a Calvary Chapel pastors conference, but there were pastors and missionaries, not just pastors. And it was a chance for me to see what God is doing in Asia. Now, first of all, if you're interested, it was a beautiful place. We stayed at a place called Horizon Village, or I did. Jan was at home. And it was beautiful. 300 acres. Of, you know, they had a little zoo there. You know, had a camel in it, by the way, and had animals. But the conference itself is what I should tell you about. I picked up two things from this conference. Would you like to know? Three things. Number one, persecution is increasing in our world. Persecution of Christians around the world, and it might be coming next to us. And I don't say that to make us fearful, but we are one election away from losing a great deal of the freedom that we now enjoy. So pray for your president. Pray for your nation. Right now, and I don't use the pulpit to advocate politics, I never do, but I will say this, this current administration is defending religious rights around the world. If that defense drops down, persecution will increase. China, in particular, is increasing persecution. They're increasing it in Hong Kong, And that's going on right now as we speak. They have, and now in this age, they have face recognition technology. They are monitoring websites. Be careful what pictures you post on the internet. China's arm is long right now. Trust me, I've just been in Asia. We gathered with several groups. So that's the first thing. I'll get back to that. Persecution, number one. Number two, the greatest need in Asia is teaching. The greatest need in Asia is teaching. Chapter by chapter, book by book teaching. The church in Asia is desperate for teaching. In Japan, in Pakistan, in India, in China, they are hungry for teaching. And number one, persecution. Number two. Number three, this is my impression right off the plane. We are closer to the coming of Jesus than any of us realize. Jesus is coming again, church. He's coming again. I was riding on the plane with one individual, and he was talking about the new laws in California. The new law in California, check it out to see if this is right or not right. You do your own homework. Requires now that teachers teach children in their sex education class that it is normal to be transgender. If you are a boy and you think that you like boys, you should follow that up, and here's what you should do, and here's some positions in which you can have sex. These things are actually in textbooks now and required in public school for small children. Increasingly, our California legislature is attacking our faith as Christians. But let me go specifically to what I... So persecution, the Lord is coming, and the need for teaching. Again, Thailand's beautiful. Have anyone been to Thailand? Yeah, they have elephants and more elephants. Some of the guys actually went and rode an elephant. I didn't do that. They have frogs, lots of frogs. Buddha. Everywhere is Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. And the king, you know about the king of Thailand? He actually was in the news where he has a queen, but he also has a public mistress, an official mistress. Very interesting. His picture is everywhere. And, interesting. Oh, by the way, they also have scorpions. They eat scorpions. They do. So for 100 baht, about $3, it's 30 to 1 on the dollar. So you can take I did not eat a scorpion, but my friend Pastor Lito de Guzman and another guy from Okinawa, they ate the scorpion. One guy ate the tail, the other guy ate the, I don't want to eat scorpion, but that's Thailand. We went to the market one night. Everywhere they offer you foot massages. I'm going to confess I had a foot massage, okay? I did. Why am I telling you this? I don't know. Just keep this light, okay? Some of the groups I met included a group from China, a woman named Catherine, and the group from China that stood up, not too many Chinese came to this conference because they're afraid to travel right now. They are being monitored more than ever. This president in China, who's a president for life, and maybe you can go in and out of the country successfully, no problem. I'm proud of you. That's good. But I'm telling you, persecution has increased. They have the house church, and then they're having to be very careful. These guys had tears in their eyes as they shared. In India, I met a guy named Joseph and his wife Sarah. Come to India, they say. Pakistan, I met Zeeshan. The door is actually open in Pakistan more now than you would think. They're not as oppressive at the moment as they have been, and so there's an open door to go to Pakistan. In Japan, I met Pastor Chizo, and I met Rick from Okinawa. Japan is one of the hardest places for the gospel in the world, because they say, if I receive your Jesus, I'll go to a place where my relatives that died before me did not go, and I would rather be with my relatives than with Jesus. There's a lot of that. Sad. It's a sad kind of a thinking. They say that missionaries, so my friend was telling me that Japan is a graveyard for missionaries because they go there and they get discouraged. It's a very difficult place to, that doesn't mean it's impossible. And I, of all things, I actually have an official invitation in November if I would go speak at a pastor's conference in Japan, and I'm going to pray for God's will. But Japan needs the gospel. In Taiwan, there is a pastor named John Lim and his wife Susan, who he met supernaturally. It's a great story. And he's trying to reach, and he says the greatest need in Taiwan is for those who would speak in Mandarin, speak it in Taiwanese, because it's not going to work in English. There needs to be teaching in their native tongue. I met a family from Thailand, Chiang Mai, named Richard and his family. In Cambodia, Kurt Kula and his family. Good work being done in Cambodia. So many other friends and missionaries. Also, of course, the Philippines. My son in the faith, Lito, Pastor Lito and Cecil. It was so great. You know, I pastored in the Philippines all those years, and so whenever I see Lito, who was my guy for a long time, he's young, he's only 52. 51, and I'm 69, okay? So he and his beautiful wife, Cecil, they follow me around. Pastor, you need a napkin here, Pastor. Are you okay? Oh, Pastor, did you get some more coffee? Pastor, and it's like, so sweet. I love these guys. God just takes care of you, and that's how it was the whole trip. Somebody was just kind and taking care of. I also met Rob Douglas, who was in Sri Lanka for 2 years, and he told me some of the problems internally in Sri Lanka. But then he transferred his work to Sudan. And I came to understand about the Sudan, which I didn't understand. You know, the Sudanese were being killed by the Muslims from the north, but they're no longer being killed by the that's changed. You know why? The guy that was the president up there in the north, he raised the price of bread so much they got rid of him. And he's not the president anymore. And now, all the Sudanese that armed themselves to defend themselves, their problem is in East Sudan, the Catholics, that area was Catholic, and in West Sudan, they're Christian. And the Catholic on this side basically means superstitious animism. It doesn't mean really faith. So the tribes are warring with each other. That's the problem now. There's still starvation there. There's still superstition there. He showed me a picture of a starving child, and they said, oh, don't bother to help him. He's cursed. They have superstitions. And so they're trying to bring the gospel to the Sudan. It's a big world. And I wonder, and what I'd like to bring this now, it's a big world and there's opportunities. And because all these guys, I mean, it was an official invitation. Don't worry, I'm not leaving you. Don't worry. I'm telling you, say, Pastor, would you come to speak in Pakistan? Come see us. Come see us in India. And again, my friend Rob said, no, don't go on a vague invitation, but answer a specific invitation. So like this pastor's conference in Japan, I might say yes. But the world is hungry for teaching. Asia is hungry for teaching. A whole chapter, Pastor, really? They're starving for that. The world is starving for teaching. They have a faith in Christ, but they don't have any teaching. Without teaching, you don't mature. There's a saying that in Africa, now this isn't true as it anymore as much as it used to be, but the old saying is, faith is a mile wide, but only an inch deep. Oh yeah, we believe in Jesus, but shallow, no teaching, no maturity. The way we become mature is to be in the Word and in fellowship and in prayer. And there's a world out there, brothers and sisters. There's a world of missions out there. Jesus said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey whatsoever I have commanded you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All authority has been given to me. Go ye therefore to all nations. The word for nations in the Greek is ethnos. Go to every ethnicity of people. Not just Chinese, not just English, every ethnicity, every nation. And what I wonder as I give this sermon today, when I come back, I go, well, that was great. What a great trip. Now, what do you want me? I got CIF, and there's a world out here. What do you want CIF to be? And I don't know. I tell you, I don't have the answer, but I have good news for you, right? Ready? I have the right question. Here's the right question. The right question is, what is, listening? Here's the question. What is God's vision for CIF? What does God want to do with this little group? Look at us. We're kind of weird here, right? Here we are. How many are we? One, two, three. I'm not going to do that. But it's a weird, we're kind of a strange group. We used to be called ABC, right? Asian Bible Church. Now we're called CIF. And we've had some losses. We've had people that went out for various reasons. That's okay. And we've had some people go to be with the Lord. And we kind of go like, we're kind of, the ship has been rocking a little bit. And we're going, okay, Lord, what are you teaching us? There was a great teaching in the conference in Ephesians chapter 6 about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Satan is our enemy. And he guy told a story, which I thought, this is Kurt Kula from Cambodia. He told a story about how he kept witnessing to his parents. I'm not going to let you go early today. So I don't even plan on it. You're going to go the distance today. Okay. He was trying to witness to his mom and dad, but they would never listen. They would never listen. Finally, the mom's getting old, and she's still not a Christian. She's not yet a Christian. Are you a Christian? Have you given your life to Jesus? Do it today. And so the mom and the dad are there, and so he goes, he flies back from the mission field to be with his mom because she's sick. She might die. And he says, Dad, could I have one chance to just share the gospel with you this weekend? And they kept being distraction and problem and warfare, and they're not interested. And finally, he calls his friend. He says, you know, I'm wasting my time here. And his friend said to him, stay there. And sure enough, God opened the door for him to share his faith with his mom and dad. And they received Jesus into their heart. Sometimes when things are struggling, God is saying to us, stay there. And I believe, at least for now, at CIF, even though I don't understand this little crazy ship that we're on, I'm used to seeing, I feel like God is saying, stay put. Because you're going to see that things happen if we just stand our ground. It says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand with the full armor of God. God wants CIF, and I want to say this gently because I don't want to beat any sheep. I'm not a sheep beater. I love you guys, and God loves you guys. We're a special group. He wants us to love each other. But I want to say this. I think he wants us, CIF, to wake up. Wake up. He wants us to be more of a missions church. More of a missions church. To fulfill our name. What if we, can you imagine if we fulfilled our name? Christ International Fellowship. Have you ever dreamed about that name? Have you ever thought about that name? It's not just one group. We're, you know, we have a lot of Chinese. And we're small. I know that. I'm not saying we have to go become 10 million people. I'm not putting that burden on you at all. But could you at least dream it as a vision? Can you see an international fellowship, what it looks like? I love it. I love it when we are Brazilian or we are Kyrgyzstan. Is that the right country? Kyrgyzstan or Hispanic Honduras. Or I love that we are, you know, and we need you because there's not many gringos. I'm glad you came in here, Amy. We need diversity. I want to reach Chico. And I just pray that we at least would have a vision that we want to win souls. You know, Alice brought Ryan today. Hi, Ryan. How are you? Welcome to the church. So a desire to invite people, a desire to reach people. That should be the heart of CIF. God, we want to fulfill our name. We want to be Christ International Fellowship. And yes, Lord, we do care about the Great Commission. We do want to win souls. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He who wins souls is wise. I don't know. God took a Gideon's army, right? Gideon, you know Gideon? Only a few people, About 300. Remember, we got 300. And they faced 135,000 Midianites, and they defeated 135,000 Midianites. 300. God is not limited by the size of the army. Jonathan and his armor bearer said, nothing can stop God from saving, whether by many or by few. There were only two of them, and they defeated the Philistines. God wants us to stay at our post. He wants us to love. And you know what? He doesn't put any big burden on us either. I was telling my friend Rob, I said, Rob, it's a very small church I'm pastoring. We've had losses. And he said, you know what? He said, tell me what Abraham ever did. And I said, what? He said, all Abraham ever did is he believed God and he had a child. All I want you to do is believe me and God will take care of the rest. You have faith in Jesus. So God isn't telling me today I have to go save a million people. I'm too tired. But he's saying, Roger, I want you to have faith in Jesus Christ and let me give you that child. Let me give you that fruit. And CIF, you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. I want us to take, I was going to do it with more time, but I want us to take the last 8 minutes and make prayer groups. We're going to sit in groups. Let's say there's five of you right there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want you five right here to make a circle. And we're going to make about groups of five. We're going to pray. And I want you to pray for your church, CIF, that God would make it what he wants it to be. Okay, I'm going to close in prayer first. Father, we thank you now for your word this morning. There is a great vision for a mission field. And I pray that you would give that your vision to CIF and to us. In Jesus' name, amen.